Welcome to Both Down 180, the number one Blood Bowl podcast.
From Detroit, Michigan, home of the Immortal Cup. The number one Blood Bowl podcast in. I didn't mean from, in. Because we always do from, but.
Well, do you want to start over?
No, I don't.
Okay.
We can keep going. So, would you like to continue? Okay, I'll take over. This is not how we're supposed to do it, but since last time, fine. This is Steve, a.k.a. Kilowoggy Campbell. With me, as always, Scott Prime. How's it going?
Howdy, sir. How you doing?
Doing well. So, Detroit, have you been keeping up on Immortal Cup?
I know it keeps selling out, and then they release more tables or more teams, and then it sells out again.
Yeah, so basically, we're looking at 320 people selling out, what, almost 10 months in advance, I guess?
It's pretty crazy because I did not think it would sell out that quick. So that's kudos to Sean and his crew for, I guess, having their junk together enough that everybody was, I guess they were fiending for it. So
yeah,
it really shocks me in a lot of ways just because of current political ongoings and things like that. But hey, there's always going to be Blood Bowl, right?
Yeah. And it's just amazing. Like, where people don't register early a lot, and we tend to get on people for not doing that, to have something like this where so many people are just like, oh yeah, for next year, here you go, have $100. It's amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was crazily shocked. So,
but I think there was two spots.
Good for them. I bet you they opened more slots, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. I don't think he will. I think these last two slots that are left as of today, that's it.
So you think there's a waiting list right now?
I don't know about right now, but.
Well, that's what I mean, though. That's the next step, is to put people on the waiting list. And because just by and large, a few teams will drop here and there.
You would think, yeah, theoretically, but I don't know. But yeah, to go from Immortal last time and Chaos Cup, like barely breaking 200, to this is just like, yeah, 320. Let's keep going. It probably could go to 350 or 400 if you had room, or if you wanted to go that high.
It just shows, just insane.
Yeah, it just shows that obviously we didn't get the World Cup. Obviously, I'm very happy about that now, the way things are going. But the idea that America can't pull a big crowd seems to be diminishing. Because we do have some international teams, and I'm going to include North America, not just America. But yeah, it's a nice big step forward for the community, and hopefully we can get to higher numbers again in the future.
Yeah. Very cool. So as if you did not listen to the last podcast, we are playing like the big catch up this whole month.
Yep.
Every week we're getting together and recording on Monday, and we will release it on Wednesday. These will be a little bit shorter episodes, but it will be catching you up on about 2 months' activities of us, whether it's Blood Bowl related, personal related, or whatever. And if you haven't checked out the last episode, I suggest you listen to that one first before we continue on here. Today, once again, I don't think we're going to take like any official breaks. We're just going to tell you what our next topic is. And we're going to talk about the Cobble Blood Bowl League. I believe it's season 11 for the, like, it's really not the store league. So it's like Central Oklahoma Blood Bowl League is how Steve started this way back when. So, but all the playoff games are played at Wizards Asylum in Norman, Oklahoma, because it's kind of like our home base store. But, you know, if you're in the league, you can play anywhere you want and play at home. You can play Games HQ up the street or DZ, and people do that. So we're going to talk about that as we rolled into the playoffs and how the playoffs panned out. And then we had a big, was it middle of last month, end of last month, that we had our friends weekend?
Mid. Yep.
Steve came into town, and we'll talk all about that. But we're going to update you on friends weekend. So once we're done talking about the league Blood Bowl stuff, If you just can't stand to hear us talk personally about just things we do with friends, you can check on out, and we'll see you next week.
Let's go ahead and just take a break real quick, and then we'll come back and get started. Both Down is brought to you by BigDealSwag.com. Check out Big Deal Swag for all your tournament swag and Both Down needs. Okay, we're back, and as Scott said, we're going to go ahead and start with the Cobble League, Central Oklahoma Blood Bowl League.
So I don't know if we podcasted since I told you about my last game. Is that true or not?
I know.
Last game of the season, I had to play my... Okay, if this is rehashing, I'm sorry. So at the end of June, me and Gary had... we had to play each other the very last game of the season. His Chaos team versus my Vampires. And I got to be honest, I felt like at the time I wanted to lose because going into the playoffs, you know, because we play the whole season, people say if they want to play playoffs and then we seed everybody by their seeds.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the potential bracket if all the people who told me they were going to play playoffs and stuff. It was one game where I really kind of was be okay with a tie or a loss because it would have kept me in second place of the league and I didn't like the matchups if I was the first seed. But, you know, through being competitive and, like, we wouldn't like other people manipulating things, we played our game. I won 1-0. It threw me into first place. I did not like this, but I still thought, okay, the matchup's probably not going to be that big of a deal. Everybody I know who's going to play will tell us. One, even though for the season, you know, my Vampires have been awful. Like, they just take injuries left and right. I took, for the regular season, I gave 7 injuries to people. So these are injuries that are permanent.
Yeah.
I gave actually 11 through 11 games. But this is like if people regened or whatever, apothecaried out of stuff. I injured 7 total people for good, and they injured me 49 times for good.
Jesus.
In 11 games.
I mean, you hurt yourself too, so.
I can, but so I dished out 7 injuries. I took 49 injuries. You can do the math. That's almost 5 per game. Not very good, right? Anyways, it is what it is, but I still ended up being first place, but I didn't like what my potential matchups were. I asked everybody, you know, who wants to play in the playoffs? Shockingly, like 4 people dropped out of the playoffs.
Why?
I guess they just were like, oh, sorry, kids' swim lessons are starting. I don't have a chance anyways. I've heard that.
Well, if you don't
heard other things.
But that's the whole point of the playoffs is you're starting anew. So
I remind people every season in our league at the beginning of the season, like at the end of the season, I ask if you play. And I promise you the season means something because while we didn't have as many people, a long time ago, you had a Nurgle team that didn't win a game all season.
Yeah.
But by the end of the season, you finally got a few skills. And then what did you do in the playoffs? You won 3 games in a row and you won the league with that Nurgle team.
That's all it takes.
And that's what I remind people. It's like you always have a chance. There's one player who had a Dark Elf team, really good player. He just went silent. So bad that, like, I usually tell people, like, you know, you have to answer through Facebook. You need to check these messages. I can't babysit you. But he was a new player. So I messaged him through Messenger. I even texted the guy because I thought maybe something was up. Never heard from him.
Was this the guy who had a job out of town, though?
What's that?
Was this the guy that had the job out of town, like he was an oil worker?
No, that was Jeff. He no-showed a couple of games. Nice guy, but he no-showed a couple of games, so he was out of the league. But it was for job stuff. This is another guy who's fairly new and stuff, and that's why, you know, he's new to the league and stuff, but just I never heard anything from him, ever. And I expected him maybe to even walk in at that Saturday and go, hello, I'm here to play, which would have thrown the bracket in a good way for me, because I was worried about this Ork team that had a lot. They outstrengthed me, and they had like four tackles for some reason. Lo and behold, it was only like, I think nine of us playing, and we had like a 17-person league.
Jeez.
Only nine decided to play, so there was only one play-in game. And that was between the Lizard Man team and the Ork team that I didn't want to play. And two plays in, the guy that was playing the Lizard Man team was like, what's the rules on forfeiting? Because this is BS. And I'm like, what? Come on. Nobody gets madder at Blood Bowl than me, and yet I play him. I get up sometimes, I go outside and I scream and holler like a baby, and then I come in and I finish the game at least.
Why would you not do that in a playoff game?
Well, because he took like two injuries and like the world was done. And I wanted to tell this guy, like, you only took 13 inch casualties all season. Mm-hmm. I took three times that amount or more. Just play your game, because I need you to beat this other guy. Lo and behold, Texlathian Raptors fell to the Iron Rock Jawbreakers, the Ork team. So that set up first round matchups between myself and the Iron Rock Jawbreakers, the number one seed. I played Shane, his new guy, just started playing Blood Bowl about 10 months ago. He's new to the league. Orcs is a good team for that. And of course, we play our game. He does crazy stuff at the end by like throwing a goblin, ties it up. We go into overtime. I had to kick to him. The overtime rules is to play the full quarter. I steal the ball from him. I have to score and play defense. I have him several times in a decent spot, but there was one streak, Steve, and I probably told you this already privately, but let's act like you've never heard this before. There was a sequence.
Based on my memory and stuff that's gone on this month, I probably won't remember if you did.
There was a time about turn six or seven of the overtime where I rolled 100%. I thought it was seven. It was six ones in a row.
Jesus.
Six ones in a row. So this was things like, I'm going to move this vampire to go hypnogaze. And then I would roll the one. And like one of them, I used like a reroll. And I rolled another one.
Yeah.
And then I went to go hypnogaze and I rolled another one. And can this you, went on.
Can you hypnogaze if you bloodlusted?
Yes. As long as you bite somebody, you can finish your action.
I thought it moved it to a move action. I could be wrong. I haven't played the new rules.
But the move action is the hypnogaze action.
No, it's a special action now.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know.
We played it wrong. For two seasons, we played it where if you, as long as you bite your person, you can still do your thing. So.
I could be wrong.
Very easily. Anyways, six ones in a row, followed by two fours, because one time I had to go bite somebody that was far away, so I had to go for it twice just to keep my guy on the field, followed by two more ones in a row. So on that turn, I rolled eight ones out of 10 dice rolls, and the other two were fours. It's math is crazy.
Yeah.
I still had opportunities to hit the ball carrier. Of course, I pushed, and then Shane had to do like crazy stuff, and he did it all without. He even had a reroll in his back pocket. He did it out all without the reroll even. So we tied up, and the first time we had to do kicks, and the way we did our kicks is, you know, you just roll off a dice, and whoever has the highest wins. If you tie, it's like both players missed their kick, is what we said. Which probably should change that. So anyways, after five rounds of kicks, we were still tied. And then we went into the round of three. And that's where I lost.
Jesus.
And got upset by the ninth ranked team in the league. So
I had a thought.
We had so many things about, you know, overtimes for the throughout the seasons, and I finally had to just make a decision, and people were tired of playing two overtimes. And of course, I'm the guy who falls to his own rules.
Yeah.
And if we would have just rolled off that tie of when we both hit fours on the kicks, I would have won in the overtime. But doesn't matter. I got beat. I was out of it.
So what about, I know the one problem with overtime, playing the, if you do sudden death, is people can just do one turn touchdowns. You don't have a chance to defend it. Now, what if you made it to where you couldn't do a one turn touchdown on an overtime?
I don't even know if that's the problem. I think really in a lot of ways sudden death is fine. It's just the feeling is if you don't win the kickoff, you lost. And I think that's how most people feel.
Okay.
Let's see, what other matchups did we have? We had some Chaos Dwarves. They faced off against, I believe that was Ben Burns. So we had the Darkland Ravagers. Oh, I have them right here. I don't know why I'm even acting like I'm trying to remember this. Hold on one second. let's see. I got to get all this right. I am not prepared, folks. Not prepared. Where's all the matches? Oh, here they are. Is that right? Man, I look like an idiot. Oh, here we are. Day one. So, yes, we had... So we had the Calta Delta Seafarers versus the, it's spelled really weird to look kind of Amazonian, but it's basically the Jackson Kill Pride by Jordan. Ben won the game 2-0. Now, Ben was the Norse team that all season long was in first place until the very final game of the season, which was me and Gary.
Yeah.
So, he faced off against Amazons, won 2-0. Chompers, also kind of spelled weird, like Aztecian. That was Brent's Lizardman team. He faced off against the Darkland Ravagers, and he won 2-1. And then Gary had his Wrathgate Warhounds, Chaos Chosen, versus Myrock Howlers. I can't pronounce these names.
Out of the nine teams that you have, you can pronounce two.
Yeah, well, you know.
You've fallen victim to your own rules again.
Well, I'm faulting just because I haven't heard their owners pronounce their team's names. So that's the problem. I promise you, they're way fluffier than all these fumble leagues and everything else I see. Rory's also a new player. He's played about 10 months. Really good player. The Shambling Undead upset Gary's team of the Chaos Chosen 2-1. And then we went on to the final four. In our final four matchups, we had, where is this at? Day one. Here we go. And I know everybody's like really, really cares about this, but it is what it is.
Hey, if you don't like it, don't listen.
Huh?
If they don't like it, they don't have to listen.
That's true. The Calta Delta Seafarers, the Norse team, won over the Peyote. I don't know what this is. You can go fumble and see if you want. Chapalute Chompers, the Lizardman team, 3-2. Ben was down 2-0 at halftime. On turn seven of the first half, Ben's Norse team was down 2-0. He scored on turn eight on a crazy like pass play or something like that to make it 2-1. They did not even go into overtime. Ben just won it in regulation, 3-2. Jeez. We said all season that his team was like a team of destiny because he was a Norse team, and I can show you the injury. I'll look up the injuries here in a second. He just didn't take many injuries all season. And then the Howlers, the undead team, beat the Orcs 1-0. So for the finals, that left us with, for the first time in the Cobble League, either an undead team was going to win it all. We've never had that because we've had necro teams win it before, but never undead. And we never had a Norse team win it. So the Howlers for first place versus the Seafarers. This game went into overtime, and Ben ended up winning 2-1. So congratulations to Ben Burns. He's been in the finals now for the last 3 years in our league. And this is the first time he's took away the championship. So he was tired of being a bridesmaid. So congratulations to him. And then we always play a third place game, just like in the World Cup. The Iron Rock Jawbreakers went down pretty soundly to the Chompers, the Lizard Man team, 4-0. After our game, me and Shane's game, he was kind of like, he's a nice guy. So he's like, man, I'm really sorry about that, Scott. I know you're mad and stuff, but I just can't believe like how good my dice were. This is like the best game I've played all season dice wise. And based on his last two games, I was like, thanks for saving it for me, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
So not only is this the second season in a row that a vampire team finished first in the standings, they also got ousted first in the first round of the playoffs. So I guess the tentpole thing is true. So Ben, just looking at his team, just because I found it, he gave 18 casualties. He only took 13 all season.
That's amazing.
So
that's what you need with a Norse team.
What's that?
That's what you need with a Norse team, is not to take those casualties.
Right. I mean, like, that's me and his armor is the same, and yet he took way less than me. So anyways, congrats to him. Our league's wrapped up until January. I'm trying to decide if I still want to be the commissioner or hand it off for one season and take a break. I'm probably a control freak enough that I will take it back and do it either way and complain about it. So we'll see how that goes.
I did check, and you are correct. I was wrong about Bloodlust.
Okay.
It confused me because you can change your activation to a move if you roll a one, but you could also still do your regular activation. So,
okay.
It is blood. I mean, Hypnogaze is a special action, but you can still do it. You just have to bite somebody. So you're right.
Okay. So yeah, that wraps up, you know, Cobble season 11. Before all the playoffs, this is another thing. I always say it's the curse of the MVP. We do MVPs kind of different in our league. We don't have people vote. We act like the press votes. So what I do is I take the stats, and Tour Play thankfully really allows this easy. I go look at the statistics, or like the awards or honors, I think is where it's at. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, honors. And I do it by player. And there's – so all the categories that give you star player points, like – completions. I look for the top guy for completions. I look for the top guy in casualties. I look for the top guy in interceptions, if we have any, and top guy in MVP. That's all of them, right? And I take those top people, and then so also Tour Play keeps a stat called most versatile, which is most or not most touchdowns. It just adds up touchdowns, casualties, completions, interceptions.
Oh, so like
injuries, MVPs, and fouls. So we, after last season, we had somebody really high on this, and they were like second in all the categories, but they weren't up for MVP. Because what I do is I act like the press is voting for it. I write their names like on an old Magic card, like a land card. And then we shuffle this little tiny small deck, and I have somebody else cut it. And then we just flip them over. Whoever's the top card is like voted last on the press is this guy. Fourth place is this guy. So last year we decided to look at the most versatile and add that person into the mix, possibly like an all around guy for MVP.
If it was a different person than someone who had won everything else.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we had like a skink runner who had 12 touchdowns. We had a orc blitzer who stood out, and he had 9 casualties. We had where's the most MVPs? We only had one guy this year that had 4. He was a Norse berserker for Ben's team, and most completions was a dark elf. And then we had my vampire was the most versatile. So we had those 5 people, and of course, my damn guy won the league MVP. And as soon as that happened, I was like, God dang it. The curse of the MVP is going to happen here. And I'm going to get ousted out of these playoffs quick. And it sure came to be true.
At least you got MVP.
What's that?
At least you got MVP.
Yeah, I guess I got something in the record books. So. That is everything. But man, If I had to go back and do it all over again, I would have just did my very best to keep it to myself and not tell you or anybody else to maybe try to lose that game. I just knew on paper it was a really bad matchup, and that tackle did really hurt me. So kudos for Shane. I don't know why he built a team with four tackles, because clearly it didn't help him in his Lizard Man game. Yeah. He didn't beat 4-0, but it was significant against me. So it is what it is. So another season down the tubes.
That's cool. I'm still surprised it's lasted this long. It's been consistently decent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, some people make fun of me. I know people in the past have said things on other like discords that they think I can't see about how I'm kind of dumb and stupid about making fluffy team names. And it's easy to trick me. You just like name something after a Pokemon city and a Pokemon character or something. I don't care.
Whatever.
I'm trying to make it. You don't want me to show up as Mickey Mouse to your D&D campaign, so don't act like I'm asking for something really hard.
Yep.
I hate for you to be creative. So
put 10 seconds of effort into it.
Right. What I think is funny is some people don't even think, like, you can see in other Discords. Or people show you screenshots of other Discords.
Mm-hmm. That never happens.
No, not at all. It's like we're all playing games. We're in like 100 Discord channels already. Come on, guys. With that said, that's all I have for this. From this point on, I think we're not going to talk about too much Blood Bowl, and we're going to talk about our Friends Weekend.
Do we want to do Blood Bowl shout-outs before we do the Friends Weekend, so if anyone cares, they can just leave?
Sure. If you have some shout-outs, let's do it.
You want to do your shout-out thing? Phil said he missed it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We can do that. The one that you just sent me?
No, you doing the noise, the shouting out, the shout out.
Because Phil wants this. Okay. Ready, Phil? Turn up the speaker. Shout outs!
Okay. So.
There, no, Phil.
We had a lot of good feedback from the last episode. A lot of people reached out to express the sympathies on my brother. That's really nice. Even got an invitation to go to the Capital City Kickoff next year in January at Quebec, outside of Ottawa. So I might take him up on that. That's from Ian. Very nice of him. And then we got an email. Do you want to read the email or talk about
it? Yeah, Nick Weiss sent us an email. It said, "Morning, boys. I personally couldn't care if my opponent rolls two dice at once when making a GFI into the end zone as their final act by having a reroll in pocket. That being said," in capital letters, "I've done this twice ever in my career, and whilst at 2023 World Cup in the fifth round, I grabbed two dice. With the final player activation in the half, I had a reroll in my pocket, and I rolled both the initial rush and the potential reroll rush at the same time. I lifted my dice cup to stare down at two cubes with a single pip on each of them. ... All of that to say, don't do this. It is completely improper. And it wasn't until after I did it that I realized my opponent wasn't sure what had happened. His teammate sitting next to him had to explain to him what had happened in their native tongue." That's another great reason not to do it. So,
yeah. Well, although whenever you're dealing with people who have a different language than you, they're going to get confused on a lot of things. So.
Well, that's true. I haven't really dealt with that, but yeah, see, and you don't want to do that too, because like Nick did, he's only 50% at making it on this. You know, he's trying to save time. Like, that's what everybody tells me. We're just trying to save some time.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, all right. I think that's it. So let's go ahead and take a little break, and then we'll come back with the Friend Weekend.
I do have another shout out, but I was trying to save it for the next episode. So
we can.
Anyways. Yeah, I mean, I'm really trying to do this like in the order that we would have talked about it, even though it's really hard to do since we want to catch up and talk about things that's just happened this weekend, even though we're trying to talk about things that happened 3 weekends ago, etc. So
you're saving it?
Yes, I'm going to save
it. Okay, then we'll be right back.
Bloodweiser presents Real Goblins of Genius.
Real Goblins of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pogo Sticks Aren't a Secret Weapon.
Mr. Pogo Sticks Aren't a Secret Weapon.
You've successfully argued with the officials that if you ride it onto the field and they can see it, then it's not a secret.
There's no rules against revealed weapons.
While you win this small victory, the day is about to get much worse when the other team catches word.
What's that rumbling I hear?
Not to be outdone, your dwarven opponents have decided that their death roll is allowed and head straight for you.
This wasn't part of my plan.
So enjoy as we sit back, crack open a Bloodweiser, and watch as you bounce away for your life. Anheuser Butchery, St. Lewin's Misery.
We are back, and as we said, we're going to be talking about our friend get-together. We do it once a year in honor of our friend Brian Hill, who passed away from cancer in 2019? Yeah.
2019. I always think that maybe he got out before all the shit got bad.
He did. Absolutely. But yeah, when that happened, you know, our buddy Sarge is in Iowa. I've now moved to Colorado. So we make a habit of getting together once a year just to make sure that, you know, we get together with the people we care about and hang out and play games.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, it helps that, like, Sarge still has his mom's family here in town.
Mm-hmm.
So they, when they do visit, they drop off the kids to go spend a, you know, a couple of days. And then, like, this case, the kids came early, a couple of weeks early, stayed like 2 weeks with grandma. So Sarge and his wife Wendy got to just kind of drive down on their own, have some time to themselves, and then they spent a couple of days with us. Typically we do about 2.5 days of gaming, and we start usually 9 o'clock-ish, and we play till midnight-ish, and then we do the same thing the next day, and then usually Sarge and them get out sometimes at 2 o'clock, sometimes at 11 o'clock. So we try to fit in one game or two on like the Sunday or Saturday that they're about to leave. This happened to fall on Steve came in on Thursday. I picked you up Thursday night from the airport. Steve stayed with me. And then, so we played games for Friday, Saturday, and then we played a one game on Sunday before they head out. So people at this event is me and Steve, of course, our buddy Sarge, Mike Tate, his wife Wendy, Jennifer, and our buddy Alan, that if you listen to some of the first very episodes, we teased and called him the triple nipple. I can only think that, like, if Brian was still with us, that this would be a group of 7 every year. And, you know,
well, that's the thing though, is if he was still with us, this probably wouldn't be happening.
I think it would in some ways. I don't know. I could be wrong. You got to remember, 10 plus years ago, we did a few years, we did the GingerCon thing where we just invited people over. And while everybody was in town, it was me and you being roommates, and we had a day or two of just playing board games one weekend. So, and we invited quite a few people back then.
That is very true. Yeah.
It is a little bit more intimate now. But I always think if Brian was around, we'd have a group of 7, and then we really could pair off into 2 groups of gamers consistently and stuff. Just to give some context, we're about to talk about all the games we played. A lot of these are co-op games. It's not a stranger that Sarge's wife prefers co-op games. She just prefers those. She likes those type of games. And we're playing with a bunch of different gamers. So we all try to get at least one game or so that we like really enjoy. Steve, a lot of times, volunteers to sit out if it's a 5-player game.
Steve is very much I'm there to hang out with friends versus I'm there to get a whole bunch of games in. I'm not a huge gamer. I love hanging out with everybody, but Blood Bowl is really the only game that I care to play most of the time.
Right. So we, after like 2 years of feeling bad all the time and trying to find 6-player games, we finally just said, we're going to play what we want to play. And Steve says he doesn't mind. We have to trust him. He'll speak up if he wants to play something.
Yeah, I do.
this year I continued to go like exercise. So I took a break and went and walked a few times to let you guys play games. But we're going to cover all these games here. A lot of these, if you follow me on Facebook, you're going to go, yeah, Brock said this, our buddy Brock. He said, y'all play about some of the games, the same games every year. And it's like, yeah, we like those with this group and it's fun. So
and we know try the to rules. Engage them.
Right. And we also know the rules. Ken Grizzly always gets played. Cass in the Old World always gets played. There's a few others that Fortune and Glory Hoist gets played. I mean, because that's the only time of year I ever get to play that game. And Sarge knows the rules really well. But we're going to go over these. Steve can add his thoughts in it, whether he was watching, playing, etc. And we're not going to go into big detailed reviews. We're just going to talk about the games. First up was game number one was Forgotten Waters. It's like a narrative story group game where we're a bunch of different pirates.
This is one of my favorites.
What's that?
This is one of my favorites.
It's by Plat Hat Games. Jennifer actually requested that we play this again. We played this last year. And as you play and you have goals to like, your character has a story. What's the best way to describe this? And you have constellations, right?
It's basically a Mad Lib to create your character. So, you know, you get they roll a couple of dice for the names, and then there are different backstories for just a bunch of different characters and different jobs and this and that and these and the others. So, yeah.
That's right, because Sarge will ask us, like he prepared ahead of time. He was like, give me a fruit. And then, like, in your background, it'd be like, and Steve fell in love with the golden banana or something like that. I mean, that's a bad example, but...
But it also creates interplay because you'll be like, name another player. So it'll say that I have a background with Scott's player or Wendy or whatever. So there's kind of a little bit there. And then as you play, as Scott was saying, each character has what are basically constellations. And you can do different things that let you check off points on different categories. And it can make your stats go up. So throughout playing the game, your stats can go up. You can get pluses to dice rolls and everything. You can get treasure. You can get weapons. All kinds of different things.
But it's all of us versus the game. The real goal is like everybody has a story at the end. If you don't get enough successes with your like constellations, your story might have I think there was a bad...
It was a bad, a decent, and a good, I think.
Yes, endings. Last year when we played this, everybody got the great ending.
Sure did.
So you got to read this story. You got to find out, like somebody's character got married. Somebody's character owned basically like a pawn shop. Somebody became a great pirate. This year, we were not as successful as previous years. I think everybody got bad or the decent one.
Mm-hmm.
My character was the only one, and it took the very, very last round for me to get the whatever the great one was.
So the way the game is played is you have a small board that the boat goes on, and they're all hexagons, and you move the ship according to which hexagon you want to go to, but it's not huge. The interesting part comes when you have the book that goes with the game. And there's a ton of different adventures that you can get in the book. And there actually are some adventures you can download now from the website. And then with that, as you play in the book, it might say, like, go to page 32. So page 32 is, okay, it's another ship. And this is the options that we can do, different type of options. But also, on the app, you can go page 32, and it reads it all out, does the voices, has the music. It's so much better than having to read all that stuff yourself.
It really is like if you remember Choose Your Own Adventure books, if you're our age, and there was some like lone wolf, like kind of Choose Your Own Adventure games where you actually like had a dice and you did some things like interactive more than just making a choice. That's what this game is like. If you like pirates, you don't mind playing a game with the app, and you have some friends to play this, I would recommend it.
And
I would not
goofy.
Own it myself because Sarge has it, so that'd be like the only time I'd probably play it.
Yeah.
But I think it's, if you have a family in a steady get together group and you like to play cooperative games, storytelling games, you might like this.
And it's goofy. So that's lot of the appeal is it's just a fun game.
Yeah. I mean, there was like at one point, Steve's character had no clothes and
for most of the thing.
You made love to a character in there who acted like a statue, right?
I did not. It was a couple other people in of the adventures. So when you go to an island, one of the things was veer off to the path and look for this. So someone chose that. And as part of that, they like you come across a statue of someone that looks remarkably like so-and-so, this ugly woman that's on the ship. And surprisingly, she's talking and she's moving. It wasn't a statue, but you trick yourself into believing it was a statue. You have your fun, and then it gets weird on the ship.
Yes.
And
but like, it's all comical. I mean, like you could, I would play this with my, even if my kid was 13 years old, I'd play it with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
there's nothing dirty or anything. So we're probably taking too long on this already.
Yeah, whatever.
But, games 2 and 3, we pulled out the old Justice League Axis of Evil. This was a only sold at Target game. It's a crappy kind of game that I have a place in my heart for. It. It's not good. I wouldn't even recommend it unless you're just a diehard. It's like a tower defense type game where enemies come at you all the time. I think we played it. We lost the first game really handily. And I think between Sarge, Steve, probably those two.
Yeah, I was looking at the rule book and realized it doesn't say you have to do this exactly this way. You could maneuver it to do this here, then move here, and then activate that. And once you started doing that, it opened up the game. It made a lot more sense. Because before then, like the Batman character was just horrible. It didn't make any sense. Right.
So I think for the first, like, we pull this out very, very rarely, but I don't ever remember us winning it. We actually won the second game of this. It was still freaking hard as hell.
Yeah.
But we happened to win. And anyways, we got a good laugh about how terrible it was. It's kind of one of those games where it's like so bad, it's still kind of fun and you get some laughs out of it. Game 4 was a game I've never heard of. I guess this was on Kickstarter and soon to be at stores. It's called Spooktacular. The best way to sum this up is how it was told to me is there. It's 1985. There's a monster movie marathon, and I'm talking like the monster movies from like the 60s, early 70s. And there's a marathon of these, but lightning strikes the theater and the monsters come to life. Mm-hmm. And everybody who plays the game is a different themed movie monster. And the
single monster plays entirely different.
And you don't just have like 4 characters to choose from, 5 characters, 6 characters. There is 20 different characters in this game. It's from Level 99 Games. I played it once. It was way more enjoyable than I thought.
I've played it a couple of times online because Sarge and Alan and I tend to get together to play on Tabletop Simulator. And it's on there. We tested it out before the Kickstarter even finished. So we kind of beta tested it a little bit.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, again, I'm not a huge gamer person. I could not recommend this game more because, like you said, it comes with 20 different characters at the start. You don't have to pay any extra.
And if you play board games, and I might say Root has a bunch of different factions. They all play different. This is the same idea, except it's more simplified. With every time I play Root, I had to help people play their faction because they never played it, and I usually coach them to win. Mm-hmm. This one, after like a round, everybody got what their character pretty much did.
And it's not overwhelming. Their abilities can be a lot, but they're simplistic. You know, Root looks like it's going to be simplistic, but then it just becomes a giant cluster of not knowing what you're going to do.
Yeah, this one's actually probably the opposite. Same idea. Every character plays different, but it was very simple. Even though it looks like it could be a crunchy game, mm-hmm. it wasn't. And Root's the opposite. It's very crunchy and it looks, you know, like it should be simple. Highly recommend this game. Yeah. Everybody enjoyed it. So going on from that, game 5 and 6, we got to play a little crappy game from the Happiness Inside guy, Cyanide people, called Texas Hold It. You're a bunch of cowboys drinking beer, and everybody has to go take a piss. So either you try to go relieve yourself because you're drunk, or you could get pissed on by people next to you who can't aim well because everybody's drunk. And it's kind of like it's obviously a play on Texas Hold'em. It's Texas Hold It. The first one to get to not get peed on, being safe, gets, if you get to 3 points, you win. And if you get peed on 3 times or pee on yourself because there was an open stall that you didn't relieve yourself in, you are eliminated from the game. So it's kind of like a musical chairs thing. As soon as it goes down to 2 people, there's only one stall and you have to kind of fight it out.
It's also a bluff game. So yes. The cards are down. You have to turn it over and then you tell people, oh, this guy's pissing to the left or this guy's taking a dump in it or whatever. And I hate those type of games. So I just completely backed out of those.
It is a very random 15-minute game. Usually people like the character drawings and stuff like that, but 2 games was enough. It's the type of game you pull out with 20 minutes left and everybody is not ready to go home. So you play a 20-minute game. I think I played this one. Game 7 was Thunder Road Vendetta. It's a Mad Max type game where you're like a Cannonball Run meets Mad Max. There's helicopters that can fly down. Yes, I did play this. I got eliminated like right off the bat. So it wasn't so great for me. I don't remember much else than this. Clearly somebody else won. I think maybe Jennifer won or something like that. But it is a fun, super chaotic game. It's really a game you can't even get mad about because there's so much you cannot control. It's random dice and stuff.
You can bump into people. You can knock them out. You can send them off into the wall and they blow up. And each person gets like 3 vehicles. So you got multiple chances.
It reminds me kind of a Spy Hunter. Yeah. Because you can also shoot people if you're behind them. And it's just random chaos and you take chances. It is a fun game. You get a lot of laughs out of it. The only bad thing about this is the game could last for another hour and a half after you get eliminated. So I don't really like the player elimination, but it is what it is. It's part of it. Then we, I believe, ended the night with a game of Red Dragon Inn. It's been years since I played this. You want to explain this to people?
If you play any games, you've played Red Dragon Inn. It's basically at the end of an adventure in D&D, you're back at the inn and divvying up the money. So as you do, you're drinking and you're divvying out the money. Well, as you do, you start drinking too much or getting other people to drink too much or getting into fights or gambling. So you essentially, and this is another game that has 1,000 different people. Our buddy AJ Murray actually did some of the art on the early stuff.
Oh, really?
And it's a game, it's very simple, but with the amount of different characters, you can keep playing it forever. And then you've got 0 to 10 or 0 to 20, whatever it is, alcohol and stamina. And the moment that you take more damage than you're drunker, you drink more than stamina you have left, you get knocked out. Or if you lose all your money, you're kicked out.
Right. So, you lose by not having any more money because they kick you out of the bar. You start off with 20 health. You start with 0 alcohol level. Those are like in a ring. So they move opposite ways towards each other. If they ever touch, you pass out, game's over. Mm-hmm. And you can buy drinks for people. At the end of your turn, you play a card and then you have to drink the top card of your deck. And sometimes they go, this is a chaser. So you had to drink again. And golly, one guy was eliminated really quick from not having enough money to gamble. I think me and Steve got drunk and passed out pretty quick. And then it was down to like 3 people. So we watched them play. I think Jennifer ended up winning this. Anyways, it's a fun little casual game. It's not my favorite, but I'll play it with a group of people. It played 6, so that's good. So we ended the night. We started again the next morning, I think at 10 o'clock.
Nine. Whatever.
Nine. Okay. I probably posted the picture late. I'm looking at Facebook, scrolling through Facebook. You guys played another game of Spooktacular. I went and took a walk, got my exercise in, and allowed all of you guys to play Spooktacular. I assume you played, right?
I don't think so. No.
You didn't play?
I don't know.
You didn't play this one?
I couldn't tell you.
I know I sat that one out. I think Jennifer was telling me she won, maybe? She was happy, at least, so she did better with that character than the one before.
Yeah.
Then we played a game of Fortune and Glory, game number 10. Steve decided not to play this. It can be a long, drawn-out game.
Steve
There's
does not like
that game.
There's
a lot of dice rolls.
Steve does not like that game. It feels like five games put together, and they only did about 60% of the work on each game.
It is very clunky. There's a lot of extra dice rolls for everything. You roll for initiative, then you roll to move, then you roll for this. I still like it because it hits that Alan Quatermain in the Lost City of Gold pulpy type movie or Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very swingy, and it took us longer to set up. Jennifer, right off the bat, got like two great items, sold them really quick, done. I mean, I think we played three turns.
Yeah, it was super quick.
It was super quick. It's probably not even worth setting up if it was going to be that quick. But nobody really wanted to play again. I believe Wendy went to the store at this time. Me, Sarge, Alan, and Jennifer liked to play Chaos in the Old World. So we set up the board and randomly fought it out as different Chaos gods. It was the most... If you've ever played Chaos in the Old World... That weekend, I got to see... Usually, the game ends when somebody hits 50 points.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a little dial turn mechanic that overrides the point system. And it is a very Kingmaker-type game. Like, there's tough choices. Like, it's like, I could stop Alan. But if I do, that opens up Sarge's for him to go up on click. So it's a very tough game. Every move is pretty vital. And then you have battles and everything else. The highest score I think I've seen in this game is like... 58. Sarge got almost, I think he got 89.
It was insane.
An insane amount of points. But at the end of each round, you check the little chaos dials and you click them up, or you don't ever go down, but you could click them up if they happen to have a turn on them. And Alan won through the dials. So even though Sarge scored about double the points of a normal game, he still ended up losing. So Korn won the Battle of Chaos in the Old World. Poor Nurgle. Scored all those points and couldn't do anything.
Yep.
Game 12, midday on Saturday. My daughter came out of her bedroom, and she actually really wanted to play Harmonies really bad. I don't know who played this. Oh, you and Steve. I put in my post that Alan and Steve sat out to argue. I don't know what we were arguing about or discussing, but... I think that's pretty funny. So Eden, Wendy, Sarge, and Jennifer played a game of Harmonies.
I think we were discussing which bodily part would be better to have versus the other one.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we're not getting into that.
It's what friends do. And with Alan, every conversation can become really crazy.
Yeah, it can.
So Harmonies is you build kind of like your own environment, and it's a point salad of building different environments, scoring points. And in the process, you can make environments for animals to settle in your land. You just add up the points at the end of it. It is a very, I'm not going to say light because that's not fair, but it's not confrontational. There's nothing I can really do to you to stop you from doing what you want to do. These little cubes come out to build your land and stuff like that. So it's really hard to worry about the other people. You just kind of play your own game and try to make things work for you. I call it a competitive, non-stressful game, if that makes sense. So it's just light, fun. It's competitive, but at the same time, you can't stress because there's not much you can control.
Yeah.
You can only control your own board. Then we played, you played this. Game 13 was Deep Regrets. This is a fishing game horror Lovecraftian theme. You catch fish, you sell fish, you mount fish, you get equipment, you know, for points. You get points for like your mountain fish. I put in my post, I think I like it. Too early to tell. The theme is very spot on.
I thought for sure that everyone thought for sure that I was going to win at the beginning because I ended up getting some giant monster fish. One was just a human. But I think I caught, what else was it? Kraken? I don't know. I got super high fish, but it was weird because we pulled the plug on the ocean and started getting rid of stuff that caused other. I don't know if the game was supposed to be played like we played. I'm sure it is, but it was very odd the way that it worked out. And if we actually got that sooner, I don't even know what we could have done.
Yeah, so the idea here is if you've ever watched like Big Tuna or any of those type of shows or just a fishing show, you can go out to different levels of the ocean. You can fish.
Yeah.
And you can kind of decide if your character's going to stay not tainted or tainted. And there's tainted fish out there because of Cthulhu. And then there's normal fish out there and stuff. And anyways, as you take more taintedness, you get some negative points, but the rewards for the tainted fish also become better. It's hard to kind of explain, but and
the lower you go, the more tainted the fish become and the less good fish are out there. And what sucks, what happened to me is I ended up getting good fish at the bottom, but then you basically have to go crazy and taint at some point. So instead of me getting the bonus points for the good fish like I thought I would, Alan ended up winning because he was getting the big bonuses on the tainted fish that he got.
Right.
And it's just one of those things like...
It was Wendy that actually won. Was it Wendy? She destroyed all of us. Yeah, she was just doing goofy things anyways. Oh, okay. And then it just happened to work out where... Anyways, it was cool though. You can buy different rods and reels and equipment. I think I liked it. I question that we were playing it right when the card came up to pull the plug on the ocean. I didn't want to argue with people because I only get to see these people once a year. I feel like we played that wrong, but it wasn't worth like making a big deal about it. So
I love fishing games and I really like the Cthulhu mythos. So I thought I'd really love this. And it just seems like there wouldn't be a whole lot of replayability because a lot of the interesting stuff of it is seeing the new things. You know, I legit caught a human and that caught us all by surprise. It's like, oh, that's really cool, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you pulled the plug on the ocean. It's not going to be unique when we do it again. So I think the replayability is going to be much less for this game than a lot of other stuff.
I agree. I was told that like when you make the ocean card, the decks for the ocean cards, that you take like 15 cards out. So it could always be a little bit different.
Yeah.
Spooktacular. When I ever see it in the stores, I'm 100% buying it. Deep regrets. I would play again. I hope we find out if we were playing it correctly. If we were playing it correctly, I don't like the game.
Yeah.
Because it just showed too much stuff. Like you were saying. I would play it. I just wouldn't own it. Let's put it that way. I did like the art and stuff. I thought the art was really amazing. Nice. And the theme was really cool. And going back to the docks to do different things. And I liked what I saw. It was okay by the end of it. We'll see.
To make that a good game, it needs about 100 more cards for fish. And extend it by a day or two. Because it really didn't feel like we had enough time to explore and do things.
It did. I agree with that. It just felt like it was just a little too short.
Yeah.
Then we played. It was late at night. We went ahead and pulled out Joking Hazard, which is by the Happiness and Cyanide guys. It's apples to apples, but you're making at least like cartoon strips. So at times it's funny. At times it's not funny. But it's better than apples to apples or anything like that. So if you're going to play one of these type of hangout drinking type games, I'd rather play this than some of the other ones. We did laugh quite often, and other times we were like, meh. But I promise you, we laughed more than this, than Apples to Apples or Cards Against Humanity. So
yeah,
I don't know who won. It doesn't. these things are so random. You think somebody's, that's clearly the winner, and then somebody picks something stupid. It's like, oh my gosh. So played that a few times, and then we played the last game, I think, for that night was a game called the Curse of Misfortune Lane. It felt kind of like a Scooby-Doo gang Monster Squad card game to me.
I don't remember.
Did you play this?
I don't remember.
Or did you watch?
What was it?
This is the one where Alan was the, I think, the Wolfman or the vampire. And we were all the kids. And we had to go get, like, luck and fortune. Oh, that one.
Okay, yeah. I did not play it that time. I have played it online. And it's very simplistic. It's not something, again, one of these things where I like the idea of it, but when you actually play and there's only three monsters, not a huge fan.
Yeah, it's a little push your luck. I think near the end we had a small chance to win, but one of our players disagreed with the strategy and I disagreed with that, and I knew we were going to lose at that point. But anyways, it was a way of counting cards and stuff. But so we ended up losing. Alan won. I think he was the vampire. It was okay. I would play it again, give it another chance. I would not own this game.
No.
But it was cool to play a different game. We called that a night. The next morning, we gathered early, even though we were tired, like 9 a.m. Alan slept till like 2 or 3 o'clock that day because he's a grown man whose wife, I guess, wakes him up. Like that's his alarm, which I found really strange. So he went home and felt guilty for staying out till midnight and stayed up till like 4 o'clock with his son playing video games and then slept till like 3. So Alan didn't even get to see everybody go tell everybody goodbye, but whatever. I'm just teasing because I can't imagine sleeping until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, I wish I could, though.
That's Alan.
So game 17 wrapped up the Friends weekend with a game of Camp Grizzly. Our buddy Sarge has all the old expansions that came out with that Kickstarter from 10 years ago or whatever it was. So we got to play with every expansion, every character. Everybody played this. We were doing fairly well. And then Steve and Wendy betrayed us. And they joined the bear cult.
No, let's back that up. You guys decided to leave without me.
Dude, it would have took you 3 turns to get there.
You and left the killer me behind.
So this game is basically you're playing Friday the 13th at the camp. There's a camp. It's Camp Grizzly. Otis is the bear guy who's the killer like Jason. And you got to try to get to one of these endings by collecting 3 items. And most of the time, if you can escape and get to the ending, you've already kind of won because you got to see the ending. Because usually you just get murdered. I totally understand Steve betraying us.
Oh, yeah.
I knew Sarge's wife was going to betray us because she just likes to do chaotic things.
That's just a thing that she would do, yes. But no,
right. And everything in my brain, because we had to vote with a thumbs up or like a claw thing to say that we're joining the bear cult. Everything in me said, just join the bear cult so you can win. Because you know Steve's going to do it because we left him, which I get.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know Wendy's going to do it to be chaotic. And she has the only weapon that we can beat the bad guy with. So you might as well join them and at least win. But I was like, no, my character wouldn't do that.
Right.
And then, of course, we didn't have any weapons. And we got mauled to death by the bear cult. And we lost. I mean, I guess Steve and Wendy won.
Yes.
So... Good for you, turds.
I'll take it.
So Camp Grizzly, also, I wouldn't say it's a great game, but the theme is spectacular. It is wonderful.
And it has a ton of cards, and with all the expansions.
Right. And if you are interested in that game and saw it on my Facebook, I think tomorrow the Kickstarter goes live.
Oh, really?
Which would be, if this comes out on Wednesday, yesterday, the Kickstarter, I think, starts on the 12th of August. Huh. So they're reissuing it, doing some new artwork a little bit, and supposedly it's an edition that's going to have all the expansions already built into it. So I hope it's not $1 million, but
hopefully they tweak it some. because
it's already $1 million if I wanted to go back and try to find the old expansions. So
yeah,
it is what it is. But
I like having all the cards and all the different characters and stuff, but it does become a lot. And Otis tends to happen way too much, it feels like.
Yeah, I think if the new edition comes with all those expansions, I'm hoping you can organize it where you just like take one expansion and throw it in, shuffle it into the main cards. And that's how I would run it, at least. I don't think I would do all of them. But anyways, we had a lot of fun. We always have fun playing Camp Grizzly. But Otis and the Bear Cthulhu Clan, or whatever it was called, they won the day. So good on them. And we called it a day.
You took me to the airport.
And then later you found out that Ronnie passed, and I picked you back up from the airport.
Which, you know, it's an interesting time for him to pass because, like I said, that weekend is our weekend where we make it a priority to get together with the people that we care about and spend time with them. And I was able to do that with Ronnie the last time I was down. I was looking forward to doing it on that Sunday with him again, but it didn't happen. And I don't have that chance to do it with him in the future. So, you know, take those chances when you can.
So, yeah. So if you think like, it's crazy you guys get together for like two and a half days. And I can't believe you played 17 games. I mean, like, I know it's like really weird for Alan's wife. She's like, it's just crazy to me that y'all can do that. We like to play games. It's one way that we can sit around and joke. And I mean, there was plenty of conversation. It wasn't like everybody was sitting there serious the whole time.
No, it's just like if someone with all the girls' friends went out to got mimosas for 4 hours or something.
Right.
That would be crazy to us.
Exactly. So, yeah, 17 games in 2 days and like 2 hours. And we put it into that, and we'll do it again next year.
Yeah.
And like I said, you've already updated on everybody once you found out about Ronnie. We did that last episode. And then you went home the next day, and that kind of wraps up Friends Weekend.
Yeah. I guess it wraps up the episode, too.
What's that?
I guess it wraps up the episode, too.
That's right. So I want to let everybody know that we still plan on getting together next Monday for the third episode of this month. We will be discussing... You're going to a Blood Bowl event this weekend?
Yes. Yes, I am. Down in
Colorado Springs. I don't know if we're going to save Steve's adventures for when I take my Dallas trip to the Lone Star Open, or if we're going to add it in when I go to Lubbock for the Stormcrow Games Blood Bowl Store Championship. But for sure, next month or next week, we will talk about my trip to Lubbock and the good and the very bad about that trip. And, we'll decide if we put Steve's event in there, if we save it for the following podcast to keep everything in order. Any feedback? Were people happy that we're doing these, or were they like, oh, God, these guys?
A couple of people were like, awesome, we get to hear you 4 times this month instead of once.
Well, good, because they hurt us 0 last month. Well,
there's also that. So,
all right. Well, I have nothing else to say, Steve, so I'll let you take us on out.
Okay, we will see you guys next time.
You can follow Both Down on Twitter at Both Down. You can follow Scott at Fat Finley, FatFinley, and Steve at Kilowog2814. If you want to know if your team name is Both Down approved, send a tweet to @BDApproved. If you'd like to email them, the email address is bothdownpodcasts@gmail.com. Or for more information, you can visit them at bothdown.com or at facebook.com/bothdown.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
all about the game. And how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run. Like a Cleveland bench from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool. Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, circle, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play.